This is Let's Talk Butte, and today we hear excerpts of an oral history recorded with Frank Gardner, longtime Anaconda Company executive and former president of Montana Resources. This is part two. His oral history was recorded as part of the Verdigris Project. He was interviewed by Aubrey Japp and myself, Clark Grant, at his home in Missoula in July of 2020. We left off our first part of this episode with Frank Gardner contemplating his return to Butte in November of 1979 after having traveled the world with the Anaconda Company, running mines in Iran and Canada. He had told his counterparts at Anaconda that he would only consider returning to Butte if he could be given the authority to do what had to be done. So what did Frank Gardner mean by that exactly? Well, as the mines in Butte were recently purchased by Atlantic Richfield and Anaconda was becoming a thing of the past, Frank wanted the authority to shut down the mine if necessary. So after being back in Butte a couple of years, Frank Gardner was in effect in charge of selling off Atlantic Richfield's mining assets in Montana. Looking around all the big mining companies, it didn't seem as though the Butte mine was going to sell that easily. Not only was it not profitable at that time, Frank Gardner cited environmental regulations as a big barrier to selling off ARCO's mining assets. But then, they found a buyer. This is Let's Talk Butte, and today we're listening to part two of our Frank Gardner episode. Frank is discussing the negotiations where Dennis Washington bought ARCO's mining properties in Butte and other assets around the state. When we come back, we'll hear more from Frank Gardner about Dennis Washington's big payoff due to tax cuts and other forms of favorable financing that made him the billionaire he is today. Barney Rask died in 1992 at the age of 69, so he would have been around long enough to see the new incarnation of mining on the Butte Hill, led by Frank Gardner, and free of unions. As Montana Resources infamously said, they're not anti-union, but union-free. Frank Gardner is proud to say that unionism in Butte is seriously diminished, and in fact it's absent entirely from the mining that goes on here now. I tried to help Frank see a connection between the decline of industrial unionism in Butte and the rise in everyday hardships that Butte residents see today, with above-average rates of poverty and addiction, and a boarded-up central business district. As we heard in the previous episode, when Frank witnessed that strike in Butte as an 11-year-old, which had mobs of angry miners roaming the streets smashing the houses of Anaconda Company men, it really turned him against unions. That's Frank Gardner, former president of Montana Resources, recorded at his home for an oral history as part of the Verdigris Project by Aubrey Japp and myself, Clark Grant. There are plenty of interesting parts of his oral history that were left out of this program, including Frank's in-depth explanation of the big tax breaks Dennis Washington received in the first years of operating the mine at Montana Resources. Frank said we wouldn't believe the amount of money Dennis made in those first years, thanks to city and state officials who were eager to have a mine going again in Butte, even one that employs only a fraction of what they used to. Given the looming environmental burdens this new open pit poses for Butte with its inevitable closure, we can only guess what the future holds for residents of this valley. A tale as old as corporations, Frank Gardner's part in reopening the Butte mines follows that classic capitalist mantra: privatize the profits, socialize the costs. As he might say, that's life. This has been Let's Talk Butte, a production of KBMF. You can hear this program again and share it at ButteAmericaRadio.org.